If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
So I'm sitting here in the Walsh House in Ballincollig, and Jim is here in the room with me. Hi, Jim. Jim won't respond to us, and I won't be talking to Jim, but I've been hearing all about Jim and all about Jim's story from his wife and from his daughter, Sandra, who joins me. Sandra, tell me about your dad. He's sitting here. He knows I'm here. He's aware of the different voice in the room, but tell me about Dad.
Yes, PJ, Dad is fully aware of what's going on around him. Dad is 73 years of age. Dad worked all his life until he got a stroke at the age of 56. And from there, we knew there were issues that slowly started to show their colour, basically, over the coming years. And he was finally, at the age of 65, diagnosed with vascular dementia directly as a result of the stroke. For the first 4 or 5 years, Dad was actually doing very well. It was hardly noticeable to the outside world that he had dementia. There were little things, but nothing major. Unfortunately, in late 2019, he contracted sepsis, which did an awful lot of brain damage because it was septic shock secondary to a urinary tract infection. And since then, he has progressed very quickly in his dementia journey and is now nonverbal, almost 100% immobile, and is dependent in every facet of daily living.
You said to me the only thing he can do for himself is breathe.
Independently,
yeah.
The only thing he can do is breathe. He can move his hands, he will move his legs off the chair, the footplate on his wheelchair, but that's more involuntary than independent voluntary
walking
movement.
Or moving anything independently, he's gone, long gone.
Long gone, long since gone.
Yeah. But even I'm looking at him here now, he knows I'm in the room.
His eyes
are moving.
With everything. The eyes engage with everything. He does try to speak.
Yes.
The odd word will come out. It could be anything from a whisper to clearly spoken.
Yeah, tell me about Coke. You were telling me about he asked for Coke the other day.
Yes, we had dinner yesterday and he had had a can of Coke around dinner time, followed by the usual glass of water. And Mum and I were clearing up the kitchen and next thing, out of nowhere, he just said, Coke. And the two of us looked and we're like, what did he just say Coke? And I turned around and said, do you want another can of Coke? Yes.
Right.
So off he got the
he's
can of Coke. I don't care whether it was a sugar rush, he got his can of Coke.
He's still in there.
He's a messer.
Yeah.
And he can communicate with his face and he will wink the eye. The face is fully functioning.
And he
will start laughing at you and the face communicates everything.
He gave a little smile there a few minutes ago when we were chatting before I started to record. So you had a full home care package for Dad. What went wrong and when?
Okay, well, we had a full home care package. It was funded by and provided by the HSE. That entails that two carers call to the house 3 times a day, 7 days a week. What it was in our case was they would get Dad out of bed in the morning, wash and dress him. Mum and I would take over then after that. So we would get him downstairs, give him his breakfast, basically start engaging him in the everyday activities of normal family life. The carers would call back again around 12 p.m. The purpose of that particular visit was to try and mobilise Dad. Now, mobilise Dad could be anything from helping him to stand, but on a good day, he may walk from our living room to our front porch and back again. Very inconsistent, totally not predictable until you're in the moment.
Right.
At night, then, they would call again, and it would be the morning in reverse, basically. Quick freshen up of the hands and face, into the PJs and into bait.
Mm. You brought me around the house. You have a remarkable lift that goes from downstairs up to his bedroom. You've done an awful lot here yourself and your mum to make the house suitable for Dad.
Yes, it's not... We haven't done anything in the house that makes it a hospital-type environment, but it is all perfectly adapted for Dad's needs. Now, we did all of this on the advice of healthcare professionals. We are very heavily instructed and assisted by the public health nurse, the physio and the occupational therapist from the HSE. They are all fully aware of how we care for Dad at home, that he's not just left sitting in his chair parked in a corner. So they have assisted us in engaging him in family life. So they advised us approximately 2 years ago that we would need a through floor lift for Dad if we didn't want to adapt the downstairs of our house. We decided to go with that on the basis that with dementia, consistency and familiarity is key to survival. It is 100%. If you veer off course at all, you are causing a cognitive decline in the individual.
He needs familiarity every day,
Absolutely. Every
moment. Yeah.
So this through floor lift afforded us to maintain Dad living upstairs for his sleeping hours and washing and bathing time. So we got that in and we adapted Dad's bedroom. He has now switched rooms directly with myself. We have a timber floor in place. We have the hoists. We have commodes. We have named the toy or piece of equipment.
You walk me around. It's really, really impressive. Now, the care package provided by the HSE, that stopped. When and why?
That stopped. We're into our fourth week now of working on our own mum and I. Literally, we had a care package on a Sunday night, but we had been informed that it would be coming to an end about 2 weeks prior to that. We were pleading with the HSE not to leave it come to an end or to find an alternative source of care, but they've been unable to. And we are now caring for Dad on our own, Mum and I, doing all the physical, personal care needs. It came to an end for reasons which are a little bit vague to us. The best we can come up with...
Did you have an agency?
Yes, we had an agency. The best we can come up with is that there were staffing issues, and it seems to be common across the board, both private and public. The agency did give some reasons to the HSE. We don't quite agree with those. And to be fair to the healthcare workers that engage with us regularly, they backed up our point of view.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there in the sense that it doesn't get us help back for Dad at any stage.
All of the things that you've described to me that the carers used to do, you and Mum, are now doing. Describe a typical day.
Okay, well, a typical day starts in the morning, early. We wake Dad up. Dad, we're very lucky. Dad sleeps through the night. So we're not up overnight with him. If we're up to use the bathroom ourselves, we would check in on him, but we never have to physically set an alarm to wake up. So Mum and I do get a full night's sleep. So we would wake Dad up around 9 a.m. Mum gives him his breakfast. He eats very well. He has to be fed, but he has a normal diet.
Right.
There's no modification of any description at all. Once he's finished his breakfast, I then come on board and I do the physical lifting, turning, what have you. So the first job to be done is to actually get a sling for Dad's hoist placed under him on the bed, flat. So I do the turning. Now, normally two individuals would be involved in turning a person like that who can't assist you in any way themselves.
Right.
I'm doing this on my own. Mum puts the sling in under
him. You can't just say, Dad, lift up your bum there.
No. You can't even say, put your arm over.
Right.
You actually have to assist him. You tell him, give yourself a huggy so that he puts his arm across his body. You have to hold that arm in place while then getting your two hands over the other side of his body, one assisting his upper arm, one assisting him on the bum, and physically turn his weight so that he has now done a 45-degree turn.
Right. This is exhausting, Sandra.
It's very difficult because I'm very petite myself. Dad would be considerably bigger than me, both in height and weight. Now, I am strong and I am healthy, but it is exhausting.
Yeah.
I have to do that twice. I have to do it once to get the sling in under one side and then the second side.
Nice.
Then we have to hoist him out of the bed and get him onto his commode chair. That is physically demanding as well, because you actually have to catch the sling that is holding Dad in midair, basically. You have to pull it and make sure it is over the commode chair. And while Mum does the remote controls, you gently lower him down onto the chair, making sure he's seated properly so that you can actually access his body to wash him and toilet him properly.
So you then bring him to the bathroom?
Bring him to the bathroom. I send Mum downstairs to get on with her morning, basically cleaning up around the house, whatever she wants to do. And I do the washing and dressing of Dad on my own. Now, when we had two carers coming in, we actually had them sharing the task between them. Because
you would leave
Mum's
the stuff out. She'd leave the clothes out and they'd do everything else.
We got everything ready for them. They just had to physically wash and dress them.
Yeah.
I don't want Mum getting involved in that because, and not because she doesn't want to or wouldn't, but I have to respect the fact that she's the same age approximately as Dad, and she's not my age. She doesn't have the strength she had 20, 30 years ago. And I'm very strongly of the opinion that at her time of life, she should be sitting down relaxing, not pulling and hauling a 95 kg approximately man.
Yeah. When I arrived, he was sitting out the back enjoying the sunshine. And at this time in your lives, your mom should be sitting with him and there should be no worries like this.
Absolutely. So, like, when he is dressed then, I call Mum back upstairs. And we bring him from the bathroom into his bedroom and we transfer him to his wheelchair. Now, he is very, very good. He will do things for me that he will not do for Mum and that he will not do for any carer. I do not know why. Mm. It's just the way things are with his dementia. So I can actually say to Dad, we'll do with standing up. Now, I may have to say to him once. I may have to say to him 10 times. Mm. Depends on the individual day. But eventually he will agree with me and I will get a little whispered, yeah. I know once I get that, yeah, that it has gotten to his brain that he needs to do a standing up.
Right.
So I'm able to assist him to sit forward and just a gentle tug of the arms and he will actually stand straight and strong for me.
Wow.
That way Mum is able to pull up his trousers, take away the commode and just drive his electric chair in and he will then sit down on it with me. Now, there are days when he's poor enough at that and you're going, oh my God, I'm on my own holding him, he's at risk of a fall, oh dear, Mum, hurry up with the chair.
Yeah.
But there are other days when I practically don't even need to hold him.
Yeah.
But
you don't know until you try.
It's inconsistent.
Yeah.
There's no foreseeability in it. I can't tell by looking at him what way he's going to react. Because of that, it is very, very dangerous for me to be doing this on my own.
Yeah.
Because when the carers were here, the two of them would assist him in standing and either Mum or I would be there to drive his chair into place. We never left one of them hold him on their own for his safety and their safety.
And I'm conscious of all you described to me in the last couple of minutes. We're still upstairs in morning time. This continues throughout the day.
Every morning, it is a good 12:30 at least before I'm finished washing and dressing Dad and get to come downstairs and start my own day.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the 12 o'clock call, we can't even attempt to walk that because it would be too dangerous. So he is missing out on that. Now, the danger is that being in week four, I'm thinking he may never walk again.
Yes.
Not even take one step.
Because up to 4 weeks ago, he was, with the help of the carers, maybe taking a few steps.
It could be a few steps. It could be a shuffle. It could be run a marathon. It could be just standing up.
Yes.
But there was the possibility of doing it. Now, sometimes in the middle of the day, I will attempt to stand him up.
Yeah.
And he will stand for me. But it's a case, if you don't move the chair, because if he goes down, he's going down hard.
This, and I hear the love in your voice. You do this out of love. You do this because you want to. You can't keep going like this.
Well, the problem is, like, there's another hour again at night getting him to bed.
Yeah.
And it's like the morning's in reverse. You're hoisting him onto the bed. You're making sure he has a suprapubic catheter. So you're making sure his catheter line is clear. You're making sure that you connect the night bag to the day bag, that everything is hooked up properly. Now, there are things I don't mind doing.
Of course you don't.
But I could do without the physical leaning him forward in his chair with one hand, putting on his PJ shirt with another. I could do without the standing him up to pull down his pants, standing him up again a few minutes later to pull it back up. Like, they're the things that take the physical strength and the time.
Yeah.
Look, in an ideal world, we wouldn't need anybody to come in and help us, because for Dad's dignity and privacy, it would be better that we be able to do it forever, all the time ourselves. But there is a reality here that nobody caring for another person can do 24/7 physical and psychological caring,
it's
all in one.
And for you and for Mama, it's very mentally difficult too. Exhausted. I imagine you get into bed at night exhausted.
We're exhausted before we get anywhere near the bed, because typically it's around 9 o'clock before either Mom or I get to put our backsides on a seat. And you're actually exhausted, and you sit down, you say, oh, such a thing is starting on the television now, we'll watch that. One or both of us are probably asleep before it is half an hour in, and we completely miss what we wanted to see. And as a result, you don't actually get any downtime.
I know.
You go from doing your daily activities, caring for Dad, to sleep. And you're back up, and it's all around in the same vicious circle the following day.
Now, the reason you invited me out here, and I'm so thrilled that you did, and I'm delighted to meet you and Mom and Dad and everybody else, you are pleading to get some help in here.
I am, because I have pleaded with the HSE, I have pleaded with politicians, and I have pushed our position forward, and the only answer that's coming back is no help is available. We're being told that there's simply no staff, either within the HSE organisation itself or within the private agencies, to take up Dad's care. We are told that he requires very high level of care, that his needs are very high. It depends on your interpretation of the definition of high needs. If you're saying he needs two people for health and safety reasons, yes, he has high needs. If you're saying that, oh, you have to do everything for him, for the carers coming in, it's not high needs, because they're only being asked to get him out of bed, wash and dress him. Mom and I do everything else, and have always done everything else for Dad during the day.
Get him into bed.
Same at night. The idea of home help is to give the full-time carers a break.
Yes.
We don't have that break. Now, it isn't that we ever, when they came, swanned off down to the local coffee shop and left them to do everything on their own. We were always here in the house.
Mm.
We never left carers on their own. But it's an opportunity when they come, for even if you have to make a phone call or you want to do your washing or...
Yeah.
I've been involved in third level education myself recently, and I might want to spend half an hour looking up something with that, because I've gone back as a mature learner to sort of upskill and reskill myself. We don't have those opportunities now at the moment.
Yeah. Who are you appealing to today? Talking to me here, who directly are you appealing to?
I am appealing to the HSE. And by analogy, anybody private agency or otherwise, who is in a position to help us. We need two carers, we in the mornings and in the evenings. We don't need them for hours on end during the day. We just need them to do the basic personal hygiene care for Dad.
And the funding will be provided because it was provided before.
The funding is there for the HSE to provide this care. I've had this discussion with managers within the HSE. Funding is not the issue. It is staff.
Yeah, and they look at you and go, I'm sorry, we can't do it.
That's fair enough. I do understand the issues. I am not denying that those issues are there. But there has to be priorities.
Sure.
And if you have lists and lists of people who need home help, you have to prioritise that. But to have a service and lose it, going from everything to zero, if we had gradually lost our service, it might be one thing. But to go overnight from everything to zero is not sustainable.
No. And it's, you know, with all the love in the world, you can't do this long term. Mum can't do this long term.
Well, I hope I can, but I know that there's a reality. Yeah. I'm not 20 anymore myself. I'm in my 50s. So I know that as I get older and as Dad's needs maybe increase, he may stay the way he is for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It could be a week, it could be tomorrow. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that the longer it goes on, the more unsustainable it becomes as pure basic exhaustion sets in. And I know that this is a countrywide problem. I know that it's happening with young children. I'm not saying that we're more important. But I'm saying that somebody somewhere needs to provide help where it's needed.
Yeah.
The HSE have a policy of keeping people at home as independent as possible for as long as possible.
And rightly so.
Well, we're doing that. We want to do it. Dad asked us when he was diagnosed with dementia to never put him in a home. But we're not just keeping him here to abide by his wishes. Mum and I want him at home. I think both of us would drop dead if he was gone out of the house tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I know.
We'd miss him terrible.
Well, I can see by the expression on his face. And Jim, I know you understand and you're listening to a different voice in the room. I will do anything that I can. Okay? And you understood exactly what I said there. I'm just describing for listeners. His facial expression changed. He understood every word I just said.
He did, PJ. I can actually nearly interpret his facial expressions because he and I speak the same, act the same, think the same, and have done all our lives. And he was basically saying to you, I know, thanks.
Sandra, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming and helping us much as you can with our situation. Really appreciate it.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.